Okay, cool. Let's talk about seed some more, because it's good. Seed rocks. I don't remember where I was, but that's okay. We'll just continue and hook up there sometime. We were talking about kingdom. We were talking about family. We were talking about seed. We were talking about the acorn, how the forest is in the acorn. I remember going to the voice of the prophets. And I went to the voice of the prophets, and John Paul Jackson was there. And he gave an altar call, or offering, like an offering for something. I don't know. But I told my wife, I said, we need to sow this much into this thing. And she's like, are you sure that's what you're hearing? Because I heard it.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, have I ever steered us wrong? Because since I've been in Christ, see, before Christ, that doesn't count. Because that was a guy that's dead. This is a brand new guy. So we sowed this large seed, and I thought, man, God, this is amazing. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to, because like there are times when I come home from conferences and there'll be a large amount of money missing out of our bank account because I've sowed into a whole lot of people when I go away. And it's a living by faith thing. And I'm not saying anything, but sometimes you step out there. Like most times you step out there on a limb and it is shaky, but the more times you spend on the limb, the more you realize that that branch is really a lot stronger than you thought it was going to be. And so we sowed this large seed, and I went and we went up to get, you know, to pray over what this, and I don't even, it was for something in what he was doing. And sowed that, and I came back and we're standing up and everybody's standing and we're getting prayer, and all of a sudden, like someone comes up behind me and he put like a note in my hand. So I put the note in my pocket, because a lot of people come up and bring notes to pray for different people. Can I borrow that? There you go. A lot of people come up and they give you notes to pray for so-and-so. And so I'm like, all right, cool, you know, and I'll look at it later. I walked out the building and it was $10,000 in a check in my pocket. That's ridiculous. That $10,000 was in that seed that I sowed. The forest is in the acorn. But if you look at the acorn, that's all you'll see. As a matter of fact, with an acorn with one tree growing out, that's all you'll see. I had John come up and talk to me about an apple. Like how many seeds are in an apple, but how many apples are in the seeds. See, what we don't see is we don't see the power of seed, because we want the end result, we want the fruit, but we don't want the growth. And sometimes your celebration is in the process. And sometimes the celebration of the process doesn't feel like celebration. Because in the process, sometimes we're geared towards living towards feelings instead of by faith in the process. So sometimes in the process, we'll live by feelings and it doesn't go well. This is important. Because this whole thing is a faith walk. Right? Is a faith walk. Like, financial seed is the same thing. I heard Bill Johnson teach one time, and he said, who here, something about $500, and a girl raised her hand. And he said, come up here, and he gave her a 50. And he said, your $500 is in this 50. And he gave it to her. Well, later on that day, she's like waiting for the 500 to come in. She's at the grocery store and someone couldn't pay their groceries. So she gave the $50 to them so they could pay their groceries. She said, there went my 50. And that night at service, someone came up and gave her $500. Yeah. Yeah. See, the seed is in the 500 was in the 50, but the 50 was seed for the 500. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this because we don't take offerings in school. I'm telling you this because your life is an offering. He who sows sparingly will reap sparingly seed. So, this will be okay. You can go to church. And not even talking about tithe. You can just live as a Christian, as the world has seen Christianity, and you can go to church on Sunday and never give away Monday through Saturday, nor Sunday. You go to lunch without Jesus, you just go to lunch after church and never really reap because you didn't really sow. So in the measure you sow your life, redeem the time, for the days are evil. What's that mean? Bring time back to the original reason it was created. It was created for Him. So each second is to be accountable for. It's a sowing and a watering. You're not the harvester. So we don't have to worry about like going to get the harvest. So my concern isn't shooting for harvest. My concern is shooting for seed. My concern isn't shooting for harvest. My concern is shooting for seed and shooting for sowing, shooting for watering. Watering and sowing and watering and sowing. I'm not there to get the jugular vein and go for harvest.
Yeah.
With my family, they had to watch my walk. And it was very, 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 very controversial. Because I destroyed everyone, had 30 jobs, got fired or quit from everything that I've ever done. And now I'm a brand new creation that wants to work for Jesus. And I didn't even have to work for Him. I got to work from Him. But I didn't understand that then. But I understood, because my perception was that I'm not working for man. I'm working for Jesus. And that's what I told my boss. I said, I'm gonna do a great job for you, because I'm not working for you. I'm working for Jesus. My atheist foreman, I told that the first day. And he said, oh, get in the trench. You know, I mean, because I was going to be a pipe layer. And in 3 months, because I was working from Jesus, didn't know it, I was working for Him in my mind, but for Him meant that I'm going to do a great job to please my Lord. And so quit or got fired from everyone. And this is the process of seed in my wife, because my wife had never seen me have a job. So now I busted my tail and love my work. I come home filthy, dirty, nasty, in a trench, a dirt trench, like laying pipe all day. Nasty, man. Filthy. Today was awesome. Every day. It was a constant thing. Like, aren't you tired? No, it was so great. You should have seen it today. A rock fell the one time, and I knew it wasn't going to hit me because Jesus is Lord and He's got me. Like crazy stuff, man. But I love this. And now I've got like, see, as a Christian, what happens is you're a seed. You are in other people's lives. Yeah. Going to plant yourself in their life, man, where they can't get out of it. And if I ask in prayer believing, it won't be denied of me if I don't doubt. So we have family members that are resistant and, you know, a lot of you have heard our testimonies and stuff before, but life is a testimony. So it doesn't hurt if you share them again and again and again and again. It can reproduce the same thing in your life. So my wife was freaked out by me. I worked. I busted my tail. She loved the fact that I'm on my job and I love my job for the first time. And she stopped going shopping with me. 2 weeks into our relationship, she wouldn't go to restaurants or shop or anything. Serious, like, persecution came from my wife. The one that I destroyed for 9 years. The one that said, your husband's a brand new man. Let's get married. 4 days later, after 9 years and 2 months and 4 days, we get married. And now it's a whole different, oh, naturally, just I'm going after people. I'm praying for people all the time. I'm talking about my job because it's all in the same context of this thing. When I started on my job, I started, I'm on fire, man. I'm praying for people. I'm coming home sharing stories. You're going to get fired. You better be careful. You better be careful about what you believe. And then in the process of the 2 week period, she said, I'm not going shopping. I'm not going to restaurants. She saw me when I shopped. So she knew that what I was sharing at my workplace was on. So she was completely freaked out at all angles, freaked out, but she couldn't point the finger at me because my life was pure. My heart was pure. I see God. I'm pure in heart. I see God. So she couldn't say, yeah, but this, and yeah, but this, and yeah, but that. There weren't any yeah, buts. This was all about walking this thing out, man. Seeing it. I won't allow what people don't see to influence the things I do see. What I do see is dominant to what people don't see. I'm walking this out, man. I see a forest. I see a forest in the seed, man. There's no way for people to get out of this. I see a forest in the seed. I don't see the acorn. I see a forest. And everywhere I go, I have the ability to be a forest. Everywhere I go, regardless of what people think, it doesn't matter what they think apart from what I see. Does not matter. They're not getting out of this. If God said, whatever I pray, whatever I ask in prayer, believing. If Mark 11 says that, Matthew 21 says the same thing, and Jesus said it. Whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I'll have it if I don't doubt. Why would I think that somebody's free will that's not possessed by promise through their divine nature, that's not possessed by Jesus through the rise, but possessed by the fall and possessed by oppression and possessed by principalities and demonic influence and spiritual hosts of wickedness, that my war is not against peeps. My war is not against flesh and blood. It's against their thinking. So why would I think that their thinking can limit the God in me, the Christ in me? Why would I think that their thinking it can be that resistant that they can stop? Which is more stronger, their resistance and rebellion or God's mercy and love? We have a little God and a big devil. I have a big God that loves everyone. Is it God's will that all men be saved? The word saved is sozo. Saved, healed, delivered, protected, made whole, kept safe and sound. Is it God's will that everyone be delivered? Is it God's will that everyone be healed? Is it God's will that everybody be made whole? Is it God's will that everybody be kept safe and sound? Come on then, I am lining up with God's will. They can't get out of it. If I claim them for the kingdom, they cannot get out of it. And you could say, well, I haven't seen that. Well, I have. Maybe the fact that you haven't seen that has stopped you from believing that. And maybe without faith, it's impossible to please God. And maybe if we line up with this place, you'll see your relatives come into the kingdom. I'm being serious. This thing's on. It's seed. I don't have to go for the jugular and get to pray my prayer. I don't have to go up to my relative that doesn't believe and get them to believe my way through the way that I speak. I mean, through the scripture that I quote to them. God didn't say be an amazing scripture quoter or quipson scripture. He didn't say. He said being a living epistle. Be a love letter. Be a love letter. Come on, you're supposed to be a reconciler. You reconcile people back to a loving God. And if you say that God lives in you, then you ought to be love. So now I got my people at my work that are freaked out by me. Completely freaked out. Construction companies are not okay with, I'm a Jesus freak, it's on. But they don't see what I see. And this thing's on, it doesn't matter what they say, because I see. How can we be immovable? See. Come on. Look, the way that seems right to a man says, tone it down, be careful, water it down, listen. Not everybody's going to believe your way, brother. No! That's not kingdom. That's the devil. Yeah, right. That's the demonic doctrine that's tried to engraft its way into the church saying, well, you know, brother, settle down a little bit. You want to be quiet. Not everybody. Listen, this is 007 Christianity. Go ahead and put your head under a basket. Go ahead and do it. Stand before the king one day and say, I buried the talent because I was afraid. You do it. Go ahead and see how that works out for you. I promise you it won't work out well. It's a strong man's gospel. There's no joke in this thing, but seed is powerful. We've got to believe in him. We've got to believe that he saved me from me. So that I can be free from others. You don't have to be like me, but you can be a radical you. God only created one of me, only created one of Dan. We both share the same kind of message, but he's completely different than I am. It's a selfless gospel. It's not about us. It's about him. It's a gospel of righteousness. Foundational principle is righteousness, which makes me not ashamed of this gospel, which makes me a tree of righteousness. And the only fruit it can bear is the same kind of fruit. Because a tree only bears that kind of fruit. An apple tree doesn't bear cherries. A peach tree doesn't bear apricots. A peach tree bears peaches. But other peaches are in the, other peach trees are in the seed or in the pit. So the kind of fruit that you bear, the same kind of seed is going to reproduce itself. Man. Listen to me. In Genesis, he said that there's a seed trying to reproduce itself in here. It says that the seed of this woman, the seed, capital S, is going to crush the head of your seed, the head of your seed, which means there's a demonic doctrine that's trying to reproduce itself in the soul of your mind. It can't dethrone God from the throne, but it can dethrone God from your soul. So there are two kinds of seeds trying to reproduce itself in your mind. One is the enemy's seed, which is a way that seems right to a man. One is God's seed, capital S. Anytime you're depressed, you're bitter, you're angry, you're in unforgiveness, you think there's no chance of hope, Satan has reproduced himself in your mindset. And without hearing and doing, this thing isn't accomplished. So we hear the word of God, we do it. Are you with me? This has completely set me free from me. I'm like not here to make you happy. I'm not. I'm here to provoke you to change. That's what Dan's here to do. That's what Pastor Don's here. Here to provoke you to change. That you cannot remain the same. You cannot stay in the way that you are. That tomorrow you're going to be more whack than you are today. But if you don't hear and do it, you won't be. So hearing and doing and believing that the seed has the power in itself to accomplish what it's been sent. If God's word is never sent down, sent forth, it's Isaiah 55 that says that God's word is never sent forth without to produce fruit. It's always to produce fruit. It never returns void. Ever. Ever, never, ever, ever, ever. But having the word of God come without Holy Spirit and belief wrapped with faith, it becomes trapped up here and becomes a way that seems right to a man. Are you with me? Now I'm really hot. Sleep. I think I did it wrong. Now I'm really in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. Can you turn that thing on? Shh. Will you guys be too cold if it's on swing? You'd be too cold? Oh, it's probably just me because I feel fire on me right now. I really... It's okay. Okay, so check this out. I prayed for 500 people, and in the midst of that, I didn't see more than 500. I didn't see anybody healed, and my wife thought I was actually more crazy. And she wouldn't go anywhere with me at all, and it was crazy. Then I started to bring home testimonies, and I would force feed her testimonies. Destiny and I would come back, and people would be made whole, people would be healed, and Destiny would share with testimonies with Mom, and Mom did not want to hear it. She didn't, because she was uncomfortable. I'm good. So she thought that my husband is crazy. He's a lunatic. But he walks a walk that I can't dispute. So I walk a walk that she can't debate or like find fault at in anything I'm doing. And I'm doing my job. I was supposed to go to Randy Clark's school. Randy Clark, the Global Awakening School. The first year, Randy actually prophesied and said, Todd, you're supposed to come to the first year school and prophesied. And Global actually gave me like a scholarship for half of my school. And it was all being paid for. And 2 weeks before the school started, God said, you're absolutely not going. Which was crazy because Randy prophesied it. He's the man of God. Well, faith comes by hearing. If I wouldn't have held my job, I would have never stood up as a husband and did what a husband was supposed to do. That's hold a job and support your family. So God spoke to me and changed that. So all in the midst of this process of persecution, I'm walking kingdom and believing that seed is going to bring forest. Am I saying that it feels good? We started it out with that. It's not about how you feel. I'm telling, watch this. If we walk by feelings, persecution, you'll never get past it. You'll never get past a family reunion. Ever. Because you walk by feelings, you'll be completely limited by your own affections. That's scripture. You can be limited by the affections in your life. You can be limited by the way that things come at you. Or you can love not your life unto death, and it doesn't matter what comes at you because God's for you and you're living by faith. It's a strong man's gospel. You okay? Yes? So I am working at my job at this construction company, telling these guys that I'm a man of God. Told them the first day I started that I'm going to do a great job because I'm not working for you, I'm working for Jesus. My atheist foreman, constantly, every day, I challenge him every day. I go up and hug him every morning, tell him how much I love him. He like freaks out. But then in 3 months, we're the second top leading pipe crew in the whole company. And I have no experience at all. So I'm down in the trench, and God just gave me a wisdom to see the laser, to see how it was shot, to see, to understand the level of stones the whole way down, to know there was no, because you're doing sewer pipe, there can be no dips at all, or else you have to redig, take it back up, and lose a whole bunch of work. So we're the second top laying pipe crew. So in 3 months, we're already second, and the guys that are before us have been together as a team for 7 years, the guys that are in front of us. So it's awesome. Like I'm setting it up. I planted a seed. I'm going to do a great job for you. I'm not working for you. I'm working for Jesus. So now I'm going to do a great job even beyond what we could ask or think. Because according to the Christ that's in me, according to the wisdom of God, according to the power of God that's within me. Seed. Right? So it's all tremendous, man. Because you've got to listen to the outcome of the way that this thing works. The guy that was laying down, handing the pipes down to me, hated God, hated him with everything he was because people ripped him off and stole $75,000 from him. He was a milk farmer. He's 61 years old. He should be retiring. Someone came in and took $75,000 from him, told him that it was an investment. He was going to return a large amount on his investment. And then they up and took all of his money and ran. So this guy thinks that that was God that did that to him. And he has to look down in the trench. He's the top man. Looks down in the trench, sees the top of my hard hat that says Jesus loves you all day long. He wouldn't talk to me for the first couple months, not even a word, nothing. But I would always bend over backwards to help him to make sure his path was clean, to make sure that everything that he did was easy for him to do because I loved him, not because of the way he treated me, but because of the power of the seed of God that's in me, the power of the life producing seed that's in me. I'm a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. So now I'm going to produce fruit in his life whether he likes it or not. And if I walk by feelings, I'll be totally offended because he calls me a blankety blank 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 every day. Every day. What does that matter? Why would I? Why? I'm set free from me. What would it be like to be unoffendable? What would it be like to be untouchable? By the enemy, to grieve and to cry out in your heart for people, but to be untouchable by stuff, by the things that people say. This not walking by feelings thing is powerful, man. We won't make it another way. So 2 months into it, I'm out there with Elwood one morning, and starting in the morning. It's early and the sun's coming up. And I looked and I went, man, look at that sunrise. Because the sun had a light shooting straight down for it. And honestly, it's the first time in my life that I can ever remember seeing a sunrise. Ever. And I'm 34 at this time. Just turned 40 on Christmas. Going to be 41 here soon. But I was like, that's awesome. Look at that. And Elwood, out of the blue, said, God made that, and he turned and he walked. So what was happening? That seed was producing something in him. See, you think that because you don't see people bow their knee to Jesus, you walk past the seed sowing problem. I'm not saying you personally, we. Okay? We think that because we don't see it producing fruit right now, that the seed's not active. But your life, not believing God in the watering process, you being the waterer too. might stop the seed from growth because of the way that you respond, like a mere man. I'm being serious. Don't be condemned. Just know that, man, God, I need a closer in, because all this stems out of intimacy. Because the closer we grow with Him, the more this is just a natural byproduct of Him who we seek in secret, who rewards us in the open. Because in the open, what does He reward us with? Him. So if we seek Him in the secret, He rewards us with Him in the open. And Him is love. Come on. Are you with me? So Elwood talked to me. I was like, oh, that's so cool, man. He talked to me. He walked away and I cried. I just sat there and cried, man. I'm like, God, you're doing it. I love you so much. You're amazing. As soon as we got in the trench, serious. He let me have it again. What's that matter? But I thought that God, it's all about me. God, I thought that He really saw. I thought that He said that everything was going to change. God, help me. No. Come on. Because that's what we think. We think they made a good statement. Everything's going to change. Yay. Man, I have had my wife, who's amazing, this has been a real process of growth. So you just, this thing's on. So when we go places, it's on. Like faith blazes a trail. But unbelief, not just unbelief in Jesus, but unbelief in the supernatural, will try to force belief out of the room to feel comfortable about itself. So unbelief or unbelief in this thing will try to force you. So a lot of times we have family that's not on page, but they're Christians and they prayed for you to come in, and now you're the black sheep, but you're in. And now you think that everything is going to be better. Wrong. Family reunions take on a totally different thing now. And I've just seen too many of my family members come into the kingdom because of this thing and get wrecked, that like are in high disagreement and serious rebellion against like the Christ in me. So many good things and stories about God's love, man. So good. Sorry, I got a bunch rambling through and I want to be focused on this right here. Thank you, Holy Spirit Bird. You probably can hear it on here because it's loud. It sounds good. Okay, so I'm walking through this thing and months into my walk, about 3.5 months into starting to pray for people, I'm starting to get, like, the guys on my workplace aren't Christians. They're just not. The hoe operator, the front end loader, my foreman, and the top man. None of them are Christians. And I am in the trench, like, no fear of anything. Like, when the pipe would be laid and they'd pull the trench box, I would sit on the end of it with my Bible wrapped in duct tape and read the word and not be afraid of stuff falling on my head. And it's in the pipe laying industry, it's one of the lead killer construction things is trenching accidents, debris falling down, because there's just all kinds of stuff. And my hoe operator was freaked out every day because of me. Dude, you really make me uncomfortable, man. I said, well, I'm never going to die, dude. It's going to be okay. That's my response in zeal without wisdom sometimes, you know. But it did something in him. It marked him. It really did. It was seed going into him. And like I would see an inspector after about 5 months into my job. I would see an inspector down the trench, like, I don't know, an eighth of a mile away. And I'd say, dude, he's got a problem with his left knee. Cause I would start to get words of knowledge. And he'd say, man, get the blank out of here. I'm like, come on, man, we're on break. Let's go see. So we'd run down the trench, man, go down to this guy. Hey, man, how you doing today? All right. He's the guy that has to inspect our trench. So he's the inspector. If he's not on page, we could make our trench inspection harder, but that doesn't matter. And the excitement of Tony understanding that this was really from God or not overwhelmed the very fact that we might get failed in our trench. So we'd go up there. Do you have something going on in your left knee? Yeah, man. How the blank do you know? Tony go, get the blank out of here, man. Serious, it's supposed to be fun. We should be having fun with this. It's seed. It's amazing. If you sow sparingly, that's how you'll reap. If you don't pour your life into God, God won't pour his life into you. Or he already has poured it in, but he won't pour it out through you because you want to keep it in like a lake and not a river. And it's not okay. The Holy Spirit, Bill Johnson said, the Holy Spirit is imprisoned inside unbelieving believers. To where the Holy Spirit is imprisoned inside unbelieving believers. So they believe enough to get to heaven, but not enough for heaven to get into them and flow through them. So in the measure that you sow, so you'll reap. Financially, of course. But with your life, that's everything. Financially is just a part of your life. It's not all of your life. You're not here for you, you're here from him. And you don't have to live for him, you get to live from him. And you don't even have to live from him, you get to. You can be a lake or you can be rivers. You choose. Come on, man. I'm not even on my job to have people look at me. I'm on my job to make other people look good. I'm not on my job to have people look at me. They're going to because my life is different. Because I'm so heavenly minded that I'm earthly amazing. So I have my mind fixed on things above. So my life on the earth is amazing. Not in proud. In confidence. That God's for me. He's not against me. He's greater in me than anything in this world. So now, like, when I'm on my job, it's not to promote me. It's to make other people look good. And God will promote you. You don't do things so that people like you more. If you do that, you're working to protect something that's not yours to protect. You're working to receive honor for you. And that's like questing and seeking after receiving honor from men. And Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for seeking to receive honor from men and not to receive honor from God. That means live your life in accordance with righteousness and justice being the scepter of God's throne. But don't live your life trying to gain people like to like you. If you want to do that, you're in trouble. Jesus said they hated me, they're going to hate you.
That's right.
They'll hate you, but they won't hate the Christ in you. They just won't know what it's like. They won't understand what it's like. And then you're like a bug light in the darkness. And when the bugs get close, they get zapped. Picture that. Bugs don't want to die. But you being a light in the darkness, they come to it anyway. Because you're light. Darkness doesn't understand it. We don't think that way, but that's your life. You have the ability to zap people. With love, with your seed, with your love, with your water. Come on. Oh, this is kind of cool. Imagine all the seeds that have been planted in everyone's life around you. Imagine if you truly let living water flow out of you. What would happen to that seed? That's a good word. I need to think about that because that's the first time I heard that in my heart. But it's true. Same principle. Same thing. Living waters. Living waters are to give growth. Living waters are to give life. Living waters are to help people that are thirsty. And you're the source for someone else around you. Deb, you're the source for me. See, we don't think that way, but you are. Hey, you're the source for me, dude. I'm not complete without you. Oh, what if we really thought that way? I'm starting to think more and more that way, dude. It's crazy. Okay, sorry. I'm all over the place. I'm on the same thing, but I'm happy. Gosh. Jesus. I better read a little. Go to Mark 4. Huh? Oh, he got healed.
by the way.
He did eventually. Did you get fired?
Not for a while. So I walked this thing out with my guys on my crew, and they were overwhelmed by my life. Like every day, they couldn't point the finger at me about anything bad. Like we would sit inside the job trailer, and there were pornographic pictures all over the job trailer, and not once could they ever even think that I would have glanced once. And they would tease me every day, every lunch, the whole lunch, all the time. What does that matter, dude? I'm in love with God. I'm in love with my wife. She's my bestest buddy. And I would, it's just a, well, everything's a testimony. Everything. It's seed, man. One day, I got switched off of that crew onto another crew with a man that really was really angry. Really angry. And I was in the trench and I had a word of knowledge one day. This is a year and a couple months after I've been working there. And my old crew begged to get me back. And they couldn't, no matter what they did. It was weird because we changed jobs and that's just the way they did things. And I'm working and I have a word of knowledge for somebody that's outside of the trench and I'm in there, we're on a break, and I get up out of the trench and I go and walk over to this guy because we're on a 15-minute break in the morning. And I went up to him and I asked him, I said, "You have something going on with your back?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Can I pray for your back?" He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Awesome, man, let's pray." So he's like, "All right." So we prayed and his face got completely red. And I said, "What's going on?" I said, "Bend your back." And he's bending and he's checking his back, completely freaked out. I said, "Man, God bless you." I gave him a hug and Greg's like, "Get back in the trench." I said, "All right, man, I'm coming." I said, "We're on break." "I don't care." So I still had 10 minutes left on my break. But this brings persecution. As, like, you don't get persecuted a whole lot from people outside of the church so much. So I've experienced, like in America. But inside, you'll get it more. But this one wasn't inside the church, and he hated Jesus. Like, he would tell me, "Don't you pray anymore on my job." Like, "Are you kidding me, dude?" "I love you, man. I pray for you every day. God's going to get you. You're going to be on my team." Just because I love him. Because I'm just whacked, man. I got problems with the world's way of thinking. I do. I love Jesus, and Jesus loves people. And the one day, in between the next 2 weeks that I'm talking about, I had a word of knowledge about his knee, this guy. And I said, "Man, you got a bad knee, man." He goes, "No, I don't." I said, "Yeah, you do." And he's leaning out of his truck, had his leg on the ground. I prayed for him. And God fixed his knee. He goes, "Man, what the blank did you do?" This is the atheist guy. He's, "I just prayed for you, man. I love you, man. I'm going back to go over here and check some stuff." I said, "Bless you, dude." 2 weeks later, we're on that same job. That man was a government inspector that wasn't part of our trenching crew. He was a part of a building crew that he was going to check the steel erection of the building. He's over by chance with my foreman, this guy and my foreman. And I had told my foreman that, "Listen, this guy got healed." And they're up there. So I just decided to say, "Hey, Greg, you don't believe me? Ask him what happened to his back." And I got back in the trench, you know. Here this guy poured out his heart. And he said he's had 4 back surgeries. He's been in chronic pain his whole life. And the day that I prayed for him, the fire of God touched his back and Jesus healed him and he has no pain and is off of all pain medication. Amen. Greg called me out of the trench. I come up to him and he says, "Hey, listen," he goes, I'm done messing with you, man." His face was white. His knee was healed. His face was white. And he said, he goes, this is real. He said, I don't know what you're doing or what you believe. He goes, "But I'm done messing with you." 2 weeks after that, I was laid off permanently. And found out that the reason I was laid off was because of a fabrication of the truth. But I didn't work to defend the very reason that I was laid off. They didn't give me a reason. They just said, "We're temporarily laying you off," which turned into a permanent layoff. But they're not my war.
That's right.
So I don't have to have rights and go at them.
Yeah.
I don't have to hire an attorney for my rights.
Right.
Be very careful about being right. God will justify you.
Amen.
I don't have to justify me.
That's right.
Just walk this thing out and love people in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really true. I've learned this by many, many trials, man. Many, and they still happen. It's good. So I'm working for another company. God gave me a different job with more money, better benefits, and a work truck at my next job. So it wasn't, I didn't go after that or anything, but I had to tell my wife that I got fired for the gospel. The wife that I had walked out my first job for a year and a couple months told her how much I love my job, and she would tell me all the time, you better be careful, you better be careful, you better be careful, you better be careful, you better be careful. I don't have careful in me. Not that way. Because I don't walk on eggshells. It doesn't matter. I know who I am. God set me free from me, therefore I'm free from you. I'm going to walk this thing out regardless of what people think. So she said, I can't believe it. Now you're going to get fired for Jesus. What is going on, God? And within a couple of days, I'm working. So that was immediately washed out. You know what I mean? Because I'm working. Same thing happened on my second job. About a year and a couple months into it. Same thing. But I got to pray for more people. And watch more people get healed. More people. And now my wife is getting stronger, but bam, there it comes again. Get knocked again. So then I went to work for another job, which was like even better. And I got to see between 10 and 30 people healed every day on my job. I delivered ice. It was awesome. I loved it. It was awesome. I loved it. And I would come home with stories and tell my wife. And just amazing stuff. But a lot of times we discount the process of seed. Here, watch. I had worked for that pipeline company, and my buddy Tony called me and asked me if I would do his wedding, not do his wedding, but speak at the reception. Like in the reception, he called me. He said, hey, I might have you give a word at my reception, if that'd be all right, man. I'm like, that'd be great, dude. So I'm at a reception with all these drunk people. And Tony's like, it's my buddy Todd. He prays for people and God heals them, man. Yeah, man. That's what I said. It's blank and true. Don't even know what he's saying. He does, but he doesn't. Here, man. I love you, man. Here's him. Here. So I got to share the kingdom at the wedding. Just love people. And people got healed. And I'm sitting with my old crew. And Elwood says, I really miss you, man. I wish you were back on my job. You were like one of the nicest people I've ever worked with in my life. He's the one that hated God. Now he's going to church this day and actually like loves the Lord, and it restored him back to a place where God's real. But what we don't understand is the process of the seed. And never allowing how people treat you to cause you to wreck a seed process. Especially if you're the one that sowed and watered. This is powerful. I'm telling you that you're a tree. Sound familiar? It's a life message. It's a life message. So watch, it gets even more. I've talked to Scott. He's, every time I call him, he goes, hey man, how you doing? Man, I miss you. How's things going? He's the was atheist foreman. Not anymore. But I didn't wait for him to confess Jesus to me. I just walked Jesus out so that he could actually see it and come into the light. Tony called me about a year and a half later again, and he said, hey man, I was just calling you. He left a message on my phone. Hey man, I was just calling you, dude. I said, how you doing? He was partying. You know, and I called him back and I said, man, I said, I'm about ready to go into a meeting. Are you kidding? What's going on? He goes, no, man. I was in the trench the other day. He said, and it was lunchtime. I went down there. Did you ever see a concrete saw? They're like that, the orange ones, the skill. Well, he was in the trench by himself, and he was using that thing, and it whipped up and bam, nailed him right in the face and cut him the whole way down from here to here. Just missed his jugular, cut him on the left side the whole way down, knocked two of his teeth out, went down here, cut in his jawbone, went down here and just missed his neck. He said, and as soon as it happened, blood was everywhere, and you're the first person that I thought about. Why? Because to somebody that you know, you're the best Christian that they know. To somebody that you know, you're the only Jesus that they've ever seen. And we can ruin seed by not walking Christ-like and discounting the process of sowing and watering. This is so powerful, guys. Way more powerful than we give it strength to be. Sometimes we think, we gotta do it, we gotta bring it in, we gotta get them to pray, we gotta do this, no, you walk like Jesus, you allow the seed to produce fruit, it can't help but to produce fruit. That's why it's a selfless gospel, not a selfish gospel, because it's not about me, it's about Him, and He's all about me, looking more like Him. He didn't pay a price for me to look like me, He paid a price for me to look like Him. And everything I do and everything I say, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord and not for people. Why? Because you represent. Can people tell about your Jesus by the way you rep His name? Can people tell about your Jesus by the way you represent His name? Do they see it in the way you live your life? Do they see it in the way that you walk your walk? Or do they just hear it in the way you talk your talk? I'm telling you that there's a place to just bring this thing inward to God. I didn't see it, but today I do. Thank you. And bang, you're already there. The problem is we think there's a process to get to there. You're already there. The process is walking out that you're already there. It's not walking it out to get there. It's walking out that you're already there. It's walking out who you are, walking out who He's created you to be, getting in His Word and allowing His Word to transform you in the secret place. God, I don't know you, and here I am. I don't want anything from you. I just want to be more like you. It's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation, it says, is actually the ending of your faith is the salvation of your soul. It just happens to be the beginning of your faith. The renewing of the mind is the beginning of your faith. It says, don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewal of the mind comes by hearing and doing. The renewal of the mind doesn't just come by studying the Word of God and memorizing it. The Word of God comes by hearing it and doing it. God, I heard it, I'm doing it. I heard it, I'm doing it. You can hardly see a scar. We prayed over the phone for Tony. All his pain went away. And there's hardly even a mark on his face. We're praying for a complete mark removal. That's awesome. That's powerful. Powerful. Okay. Was that you, Mary?
Yes, it was.
Just wanted people that hear this to know who it was. It was groaning.
Stretching.
All right. Check it out. We're in Mark 4. I'm doing better. I'm being more like my dad every day. It's been at least 20 minutes since I got to the scripture I told you to open to. I will. Listen to this. In verse 13 of Mark 4, it says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So the seed sowing parable that Jesus is talking about, if you can't understand this, then you won't be able to understand any. So this one's the foundational parable out of every one in order to get everything else because the kingdom is all seed. Yeah? Okay. I'm just going to read the explanation. Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. without hearing and doing, guys, Satan takes the word from your heart, puts it in your mind, makes it form without power. Hearing and doing, the seed comes to understanding, and the bird comes, the birds come, and they cannot snatch a seed that comes to understanding. Means experientially understanding. These likewise are the ones sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises from the words, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So persecution can take this thing completely out of you if you're not grounded in hearing and doing, because when you hear and do, the word is applied. And then when the word's applied, Satan can't snatch that thing. And your roots go down deep. I'm going to kind of go through this quickly, and I'm going to get to a certain point here. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, meaning distraction and worry, and the desires for other things or other voices. Because I believe that other things is not just stuff, but desires to even hear other voices except for the voice of truth, enter in, and they choke the word and make it unfruitful. So a lot of times there's a way that seems right to a man that grafts itself in to the gospel, and we think that Jesus said, my sheep hear and obey my voice, and the strangers they won't follow. So these other voices come, and if you gain them access, they have access to quench that very word, and thorns and thistles grow and crowd that thing to where it can't even do what it's supposed to do. Are you with me?
Yes.
But these are the ones who it's sown on good ground. Sown on good ground, and those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Hear the word and receive it and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I don't think God's mad at me when I say some a million. Because he's all into increase. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should become to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay. Now we talked about like being on a job or being at your home or being in your life and not hearing and doing, but allowing your life to be a tree of righteousness, right? The planting of the Lord, which bears fruit, which has seed and fruit. And it's God's will that your fruit remain. If you're the only one, I believe this is true everywhere, but I started out by saying if you're the only one that knows you're a Christian at your workplace, something's really wrong. And they ought not just know it for the words that you say, but they ought to know it through the life that you live. If you're the only one at your family reunion that knows about the gospel of power that flows through love in your life, you might just have a basket on your head. Listen, I understand what it means to be persecuted by family. I know what it means to sit in the midst of 30 or 40 people and have them all not be in agreement with where your life is, but a lot of them prayed for you to get out of hell, and now you want to get the hell out of them. Do you know you have complete permission to love the hell out of people? Your war's not against flesh and blood, right? But against... You take every thought captive, right? Do you know that you can powerfully love somebody enough that their hellish thinking will be gone? So you can love the hell out of people? Because your war's not against them, it's against their mindset. So you can actually sow and water seed that are so powerful, and there's a spirit of increase on the earth. And that spirit of increase is on the earth, but it needs to be coupled with the spirit of excellence that's also on the earth. So that there's nothing that people can point the finger at you about except for your life is naturally supernatural. But there's nothing at you that they can say, ha, 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 ha. We don't need a move of God that's yucky. We need a pure move of God, the pure in heart, one that would walk in purity and boldness. You with me? Nothing hidden that will not be revealed. I take that all kinds of different ways. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Whew. All kinds of stuff runs through me when I see that. I do. Because I read the talents. I read that stuff. I read Matthew 25. I read the very fact of the talent that the one had and he buried it because he was scared. I read the guy that had two and he doubled it and the master was like happy. I read the guy that doubled the five and the master was happy. I go back and say, listen, we need to live our whole life with the very fact of this. One day you're going to stand before God. See, it's not by your works that you are saved. It was by grace that you were saved, but it will be by your works that you'll be judged.